This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Slash and dash.
Do you see that someone had made that their ringtone?
No.
The fucking coolest thing ever.
Oh my god.
Slash and dash.
Is that serious?
Yeah, it's for realsies.
Amazing.
So, you guys voted. Your three options were a long wait, you really don't want to date this guy, and snitching insects. Which do you think they went for, Emma?
I can't even listen. I'm just welling up at the thought that someone has my voice as a ringtone.
Like, well, it might have been them saying it, but still.
That's like been my dream ever since I used to compose my own polyphonic ringtones on the Nokia 5210. So go on, what are the options again?
A long wait.
No.
You really don't want to date this guy.
That's my life.
And snitching insects.
Snitching insects. Oh, I hope it's that one.
It's not.
Oh. Is it about dating?
I think they wanted us to bitch about mum, so...
I just want to hear more sad tales of my life.
So by a landslide. This is the first time I didn't know which one they'd go for, though.
This is like, my life is like Diary of a Call Girl, except where no one calls her.
So, yeah, this is the first time.
That's not even true, FYI. I'm not as bad as
this. It was the first time that I wasn't like, they're definitely going to pick this one because I made it sound more interesting.
Oh, okay.
So it's
the one where no one really cares.
This is a genuine choice from you guys. So they picked the story of Rodney Alcala. So he's born in Texas, raised by his mother after his father abandoned the family. And he joined the army where he was a clerk, bookworm.
Clerk.
And he left after 4 years due to a nervous breakdown. And he was also diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder, which we've talked about quite a lot, so you should all be very good psychologists in terms of that. We are not revising.
If you're a new listener, Lucy doesn't give a fuck.
I'm sick of revising personality.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know it.
What?
I didn't commit it to my long-term memory.
Wait, it's effectively psychopathy.
Okay.
So in 19...
Which is one of my favourite words, because in my head forever I always read it psychopathy, and now I've learned it, I'm like, psychopathy.
Although we do study psychopathology. As part of psychology.
Oh, now I'm just a mess.
So in 1968 is when Alcala. It's really hard to say his name. Alcala.
Should we Google it?
No, I didn't know. I wrote it down because it sounds like Alcala, like the word colour, because I listened to a documentary.
Oh, okay.
So he committed a crime.
So guess what? He committed a crime. So case closed, podcast over.
You'd hope so. But he was seen luring an 8-year-old girl into his apartment. I don't know if he left a trail of sweets or said he had some shag bands or something. But a witness saw it and he called the police, or he or she phoned the police. Because you would, wouldn't you? You see some guy talking to a girl that clearly he's not related to. And then
a bit racist.
Them walking inside together. Why is that racist?
Well, how do they know they're clearly not related?
What? Because he looks like too young to be her dad. Like if she put probably from her reaction, I would say.
Oh right, I guess maybe she was earwigging on the conversation. Like when you're looking at people and like they're definitely on a first date because they're asking too many questions.
Yeah, like when you play that game.
Mum or boyfriend? Mum or girlfriend?
Mum or girlfriend, or which date are they on? And then Luke genuinely goes over and asks them, we've just been playing this game and we were just guessing how long you've been together.
You can usually tell if they look interested in what the other person's saying.
Less
it's fairly new.
Yeah. So unless they look really disinterested, then it's first date.
But a terrible worm.
So the girl does go into the flat with him, and the police do arrive, but it is a little bit too late because she was beaten quite viciously and she was raped by him. Now, he escaped once he realised they were coming, left all his things, and he drove straight to the East Coast, and here he enrolled in New York University. So he fled, but obviously they knew his name was on the lease for the flat, so they know who they're looking for. I think they probably had a photograph of him as well. So they started trying to track him down, but he started going by the name of John Berger, and he enrolled in New York University. I know John Berger.
He was on the street, like looking around, like, my name is John, table.
Yeah,
sure.
So 3 years later in 1971, also when he moved to New York, not only did he enroll to study film, but he started working at a summer camp.
Where he was known as Jimmy Hot Dog.
Still John Berger. But he was they call them counsellors.
Oh, yeah.
He was sort of a helper. I mean,
those jobs are pure pedo bait.
I did that job.
Nah.
How
many kids did you date?
I was like the human shield for the kids.
Just like fending off penises left, right, and centre. You will not abuse the child. You shall not pass.
It's mostly stopping them smoking, to be honest. So two of the girls in 1971 were out and about. They'd been at this summer camp and they saw a photo of Alcala in the post office, I think, with wanted, because they were trying to track him down for this crime they committed 3 years before. And they'd obviously sent photos all over the country.
It must have been a really horrific what happened to that girl then, if all across the country.
So he was arrested and he was taken back to California. The girl had moved away, so she didn't testify. I think her parents just wanted to kind of get over it rather than put her through that. So he was charged with a smaller crime. And he was in prison for 34 months. So
I love your use of the word crime in this episode.
He done a crime. So 2 months later,
all specificity is completely gone. There were crimes over here, crimes over there, and then they got him done for a crime.
So 2 months later, he's arrested again for giving weed to a 13-year-old. She also said that she'd been taken against her will. So thank goodness that he was, you know, stopped and she was taken back to her parents. So he went to prison for another 2 years as a result of that. And then he starts being a really horrific serial killer. He is quite a well-known serial killer because he did some really awful things. So he goes to Los Angeles and he gets a job at the newspaper. And he starts being one of those creepy guys who, I mean, now they'd probably use Gumtree or is it Craigslist, but offers to photograph girls to help their modelling career. So one of those ones. And girls say yes and go on photo shoots or let him photograph them half naked because they want to be famous.
And you always hear those stories about famous models who were discovered. She was just walking down the street. Kate Moss was just, you know, stumbling out of a taxi and someone thought she was amazing. So that's why people believe it happens, because they keep hearing these stories of like, yes, that's all it takes.
It's like when I was little and I thought if I sang really loudly in my back garden, maybe a music producer would walk past my house and give me a record deal.
Yeah, I used to like sit in the window of my bedroom like I was in a movie, in like a nightdress, like the girl from Hook when she sits in the window and sings. And I'd be like, if I do this, something magical will happen.
So while he's living in Los Angeles, this is where he commits some really awful crimes. And it's always young girls, not always children. So there were victims that were, you know, around age 21, but between 1977 and 1979 he killed four girls called Jill Barcombe, Georgia Wixton, Charlotte Lamb, and Jill Parente, and they were all assaulted and strangled to death. So really horrific crimes. Now, he wasn't initially found out for any of those crimes. It wasn't till 12-year-old Robin Samso disappeared while walking home from a ballet class in Los Angeles, and then her body was found 12 days later, that fingers started to point to Alcala. So he was immediately linked with the crime because the girl had some earrings and they were found in a locker that was rented under his name. So in terms of that happening, I think probably the parents said that she had these earrings. Someone who owned the lockers found the earrings and then they traced who right. had rented that locker.
I thought it was like from DNA of like the ear crud that comes that like sticks to you at the...
Oh, I used to love that though.
Yeah.
You're like piddling it off. Off your ear. I don't wear earrings anymore. They itch. So Alcala is arrested and he was put on trial and he was sentenced to death by the jury. However, the judge had told the jury about Alcala's convictions previously. So the minor crime, the involvement in the rape of the young girl. And so at this time, juries weren't allowed to know of previous convictions because it might change their judgment. So it was overturned. So he had another trial that was also overturned. So he was sentenced again, overturned again. And then the third time, 2003, they had finally matched Alcala's DNA to two of the women who were also murdered. And some DNA on Robin's earrings also matched.
Yes, I knew it was going to be ear crud.
Yeah.
What, so he was like putting those earrings inside other girls?
I don't know. I mean, he must have taken them with him to the crime or had them all in a big bag of murder crap. So this time he was on trial again, and because of this evidence, he was convicted of all five murders and he was sentenced to death. Now, the reason that he's quite a well-known case is because in the middle of this spree of five murders, although it's thought that he was connected to more and he was actually convicted of some more following, I'll tell you about them in a second, he was on the show The Dating Game, which was the American version of Blind Date. So what I thought we could do is I will quickly show you... We'll stop recording, show you him on the show, and then we'll come back and discuss that in a sec. So, what did you think?
Well, I think the weirdest bit of that show wasn't the serial killer that was on it. He met his match.
She was fucking weird.
I know that he didn't kill her or assault her. She says, "What?" Which, if that's not on the DSM-5. he wasn't particularly charming, let's say that. Like, he didn't win for his charm. He won because he described himself as the banana. And she, "I like bananas, so I'm going to go with one."
So she refused to go on a date with him.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, because she thought he was too creepy.
She thought he was too creepy, the woman who picked her bachelor based on the fact that she thought he had a massive schlong.
Yeah. So she
was way creepy. Stop flashing those gums at me.
Yeah, the other contestant said that he was pretty odd as well. So he was later put on trial. So obviously he was sentenced to death following the trial where he's sentenced for five murders. He was later put on trial for the murders of Ellen Jane Hover in 1977, who was murdered in New York when he lived there, and Cornelia Michael Crilly, 1971, who... was murdered while he was at NYU as well. So those two were tracked with him. But he had hundreds of photos of women. I don't know how he got so many to come.
Oh, because he pretended to be a fashion photographer.
Yeah, but apparently there were 900 that they didn't release because they were too graphic to show to the public. But they did release 120 because they wanted to see if the women who were in them would come forward and then they could kind of rule out who was still alive.
The other day, I watched an episode of Millionaire Matchmaker, and Patty had to kick out a guy from the casting because he was taking pictures of the other girls who were waiting to audition. Really? She was like, "I don't allow pervs in the Millionaires Club." And he got, but like, who's, there's obviously people around who still see women and go, "I want a picture of that. I want to take that home."
It is creepy, isn't it? So some women did come forward as saying that they were in the photos, but also some family members did come forward. But saying that the photos were of people who had gone missing. So it's believed that he probably had quite a lot more victims that he sort of captured on film that they don't know about. I think I think they're looking into it, but I think also they've said, well, we've got him for life, Lil.
And he's dead.
There's no... Well, he's not, but there's but no point putting him on trial. Well, he's 74 now. And
he's definitely going to die.
They no longer have the death penalty in New York, so he's not going to be... Although he was sentenced to death, he's not going to be put to death. So he's just going to live in prison until he dies.
Which isn't a barrel of laughs.
Let's hope.
Unless they have, like, prison the dating game.
Although I did have a tour of a prison at the weekend, and one person did the cliche thing of, it's like a holiday camp now, isn't it?
And what did he say?
The prison guard said, yeah, not really. No. Although they do get to use the gym.
That is not a holiday for me.
And he did say that a really good punishment is saying that they can't use the gym, because for a lot of them, that's sort of their life while they're in there. It's dead good. It's dead interesting. If you get to look around a prison, look around a prison when there's no inmates in it. I'd go in with inmates in, actually. As long as they were locked up.
We'll send you on one of those scared straight programs where they just yell in your face, straighten up and fly right!
One of my students did that. He was like, I wasn't even bothered.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Yeah, I bet he fucking was.
I will fold you like a piece of paper! See that advert all the time.
Anyway, Dash.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.